Welcome to Shouts of Grace, a ministry of Redemption Hill Church in Eagle Mountain, Utah. At Shouts of Grace, it's our purpose to encourage you to see the Bible as God's source of truth for everyday life and grace as the foundation for a genuine relationship with God. Today, Redemption Hill Church pastor Steve Pearson takes us through the second chapter of the book of Jonah, pointing out the truth that God corrects those he loves. The sermon is titled Jonah's Prayer. Here's Pastor Steve.
If you don't go God's way and you go your way, at some point something's going to swallow you up and you are going to find yourself under the hand, under the corrective hand of God. It is the way of life. No Christian will get through that period without having that period in their life. If they do, then their confession to be a Christian is a sham, because we're going to see as we end, God loves those he chastens. And so you're either admitting that you are 100% right in life about everything, or you're going to go through, I'm going to go through, sometimes in your life, multiple times in your life, the corrective hand of God. And you'll see why. Now, listen, when that happens, when God's hand of chastisement or God's hand of discipline comes, there are always four things that exist in that discipline, right? And I want us to keep this in mind this morning. Number one, there's loneliness. You're by yourself, okay? Number two, there's darkness. You cannot see a way out. Number three, there is uncomfortability. It's hurt and it's painful. And number four, there is a consciousness. You are aware of where you're at and why you're there. So I want us to keep that in mind as we read Jonah, starting in chapter 1, the very last verse, and through chapter 2. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me, and all your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over my head to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the root of the mountains I went down to the land whose bars closed around me forever. Yet you brought my life up from the pit, O my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. Lord, I will vow what I paid you. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon dry ground. You guys, in 31 years as a Christian, and 25 of those being in ministry, I have noticed in both myself and in others that every person has a different bottom. Every person has a different bottom. Every person has a different pain threshold. Every person has a different breaking point. What do I mean by that? You guys, when people are spiraling downward in life, the depths to which they are willing to sink differ. It's lower for some people. You can't explain. Everybody isn't impacted. Everyone isn't affected by the same low point, right? For some, they spiral down even more. When a person endures pain and their pain threshold, those pain thresholds differ from different people. How many of you guys have ever seen a woman give birth? It all hurts, right? I think it should hurt, yeah. But if you'll when you go to the doctor will often ask you, "What's your pain at? Between a 1 and a 10." Now, here's my philosophy in that. If I walk in and I say a 4, right, they're gonna put me in a wheelchair and in a blanket and stick me in the hallway and treat all the people with 8, 9s, and 10s, and I'm gonna be in pain. So when I go to the doctor, it's already at a 7, no matter what, right? We're going to start there, and any bump, I'm going to let you know, right? But people have different pain thresholds. I'm shocked by how some people can just take it and take it. And, you know, all men's pain threshold automatically is at an 8, right? All the men know that, or the wives know that. When a person is handling the anxieties of life, the weight of those anxieties and what they're able to bear differ from person to person. Some people are able to like bench press 500 pounds of anxiety, while other people buckle with just the bar. The point is, you guys, all of us have different breaking points, particularly when it comes to our walk with the Lord. When someone gets to that point, folks, what they do at that point reveals a lot about themselves. It reveals a lot about themselves. If they turn to themselves and they turn to their own wisdom, then listen, they will make decisions in life that reflect that. For Jonah, when he was swallowed up in judgment, his threshold, his bottom, when he got to the lowest point, we're told it led him to pray. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord. What is then referring to? Then is referring to, it's making reference to the last verse in chapter 1, when he was swallowed up by a great fish, then he prayed. Right? Then he acknowledged God. Then he was willing to listen to God. And you know what I found? Both me personally and other people's lives in 31 years of walking with Christ is God knows how. God knows how to bring every person to their then. He knows how to bring them there. Right? He'll bring you to your end, which is different than anybody else. And then what you do reflects who you are. Let me say that again. When God brings you to that point, what you do, then that reflects who you really are. You guys, there was a king in the Old Testament named Manasseh in 2 Chronicles 33:10. He is said to be the worst king that ever lived, and nobody sold themselves to do wickedness more than him. And then it says the same thing of Ahab. I think it's a general thing to say, man, this guy took the cake, right? And God spoke to him. I want you to listen to this. 2 Chronicles 33:10. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they paid no attention. I want you to hear that. God spoke to him over and over. What you're doing and what you're setting up as worship and what you're setting up as idols and how you're affecting these people. God talked to him year after year. And listen, Manasseh paid no attention. So God just went on his merry way and he let Manasseh get away with everything. No. Verse 11, therefore the Lord brought upon them the commanders of the army as the kings of Assyria and captured Manasseh with hooks and bound him with chains of bronze and brought him to Babylon. And when he was in distress, then he entreated the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself before God and he prayed to him and God was moved by his entreaty, heard his plea and brought him again into his kingdom. Manasseh had a then. It wasn't when God was talking to him. It wasn't when God was trying to reason with him or plead with him. It was when what? It was when he wouldn't listen. So God took him into the harshest of bondage. And what did he do? Then he cried out to the Lord. When he was in his worst spot, it said the most about who he was inside. And if you read the story, he went on to repent in one of the greatest repentances in the Bible, and he brought Israel back. The point is, he had a then. This morning, you guys, I want us to look at those four areas that we mentioned earlier in Jonah's judgment or his chastisement. Number one, loneliness. Number two, darkness. Number three, uncomfortability. And number four, a consciousness. And as we read this, you're gonna notice a struggle in Jonah. There's going to be a struggle between what he feels and then what he knows. Right? You're going to watch it firsthand. I feel this way, but then he knows something different. And so let's begin verse 3. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. When he says that he was driven from God's sight, he's describing the loneliness a person feels in the chastisement. They feel driven away, right? They feel literally like God wants nothing to do with them anymore. There's a deep loneliness that seats in their soul as if they've gone too far. They've lost everything. They've lost favor with God. And listen, all hope seems to be lost. This is what it means when he feels like I've been driven away. God doesn't want me anymore. You want to hear one of the saddest yet most horrifying sections of Scripture? It's in Jeremiah 15. When God is sending the nation of Israel away from him. By the way, we need to pray for them, right? We need to keep them in our prayers. It's some crazy stuff happening in the last 24 hours. But God is sending the nation of Israel away because of their disobedience. And I want you to listen to this and tell me if you can feel the loneliness in this chastisement that God has designed. You're going to feel the weight of what he says. Jeremiah 15, verse 1. Then the Lord said to me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, my heart would not turn towards these people. Send them out of my sight and let them go. And when they ask you, where shall we go? You tell them, thus saith the Lord, those who are destined to pestilence, to pestilence. Those to the sword, go to the sword. Those to famine, go to famine. Those who bound for captivity, go to captivity. In other words, listen, go where you've always been going. You've already chose your destination. So I'm turning you over. I'm letting you go. Now listen, verse 5. Who will have pity on you, Jerusalem? Who will grieve for you? Who will turn aside to ask about your welfare? You have rejected me, declares the Lord. You keep going backward, so I have stretched out my hand against you to destroy you. I want you to hear what he's saying. I grieved for you. When I gave birth to you, I was the one who grieved for you. Now who's going to do it, right? I was the one who had pity on you. Now who's going to have pity on you? I was the one who looked out for your welfare. Now who's going to have pity on you? Who's going to look out for your welfare? The nations hate you. They've always hated you. I was all you had. But because you didn't want me, fine, have what you want. But listen, nobody's going to care about you. Can you feel that loneliness? It's real. Listen, you guys. A person can feel great loneliness when they're severed from people, right? When relationships are broken. People can feel a great loneliness, but listen, it pales in comparison to the loneliness a person feels when they've been severed from God. When they feel like God has turned their back on them, when they feel like they're all alone there, that one does damage to the soul. It does something to the psyche. It leaves an imprint on somebody's mind because it's always there as ammunition for the enemy of your soul to come in and mold it and shape it into whatever he wants it to be. And a true Christian can only handle that for so long. A true Christian at some point will break and life away from God will become too much. They won't be able to handle it. Now, that's different for different people. But a true believer, at some point, that loneliness will drive them back to God on their knees because they will miss the fellowship with him, regardless of what's happening around them. Jonah feels like he's been driven away and he's been abandoned by God. That's how he feels, right? But remember, I told you there's a struggle in this tension because verse 5 says, yet I shall again look on your holy temple. So he feels this way. God's forsaken me. I'm driven away. There's no place for me. But somehow, in some way, in the back crevices of his heart, there's this understanding, yet I'm going to see you again. So I feel driven away. This is how I feel. But what I know is you haven't left me. That you still are with me and you haven't abandoned me. There's a despair there, but what I know is I shall see the goodness of God in the land of the living. The second thing we notice in Jonah's judgment is darkness. Jonah could not see any relief or end in his suffering. In Jonah's mind, Listen, in his mind, what he thought was there was no sentence to serve, there was no time to serve, and then he was free. In Jonah's mind, this was his new reality to which there was no coming back from. And the darkness didn't allow him to see past that. Look at what he says in Jonah chapter 2, verse 5. The waters closed in over me to take my life, and the deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head and the roots of the mountain. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Jonah is describing the darkness of chastisement or the corrective hand of God. He thought his life was over. He said, he thought, this is it. These waves have closed in around me to take my life. In his description, he says, the deep surrounded me. Many years ago, I bet you it was probably 8 or 9 years ago, when I was going through a very just dark time in my life, I remember having a dream. I'll remember the dream for the rest of my life. But in the dream, I was in the ocean with a bunch of friends. We were on a boat. I was in the water, and I was like 6 inches under the water, but my eyes were open, and I could see all my friends. You know how when you're a little bit under the water, you can see, you know, all your friends standing on the pool edge or whatever. They were in the boat. Everyone was having fun. I'm not going to tell you what they were doing, but anyway. and then I remember in that dream, I looked down, and I could see a depth, but then it just was black. When I looked back up, I was looking up 50 feet underwater, and I was cold. And I could barely see the surface. And when I looked down, the darkness was at my heels. When I looked back up, I was pulled down with this violent force in the dream rapidly. And the deeper I got, the colder I got, the darker it got until I hit the bottom and literally felt like I was being held on the bottom. I remember this feeling in my dream. I was cold. I was lonely. I was afraid. There was darkness all around me. And I just panicked. And I was like, man. And then I was released. I went up and then I woke up. You guys, when the deep surrounds a person, it's dark. It is very dark, and it is cold, and they are isolated, and there is a fear there. It's exactly as Jonah describes. It's like bars that close you in forever. You don't see past it. You think this is permanent. You don't even know if there's even a hope for the future. And you know what? The reason for that is we're not meant to be able to see the other side of the chastisement. That's the point. The point is there's no guarantees. The guarantee isn't you'll come out the other side better if you just serve your time. The guarantee isn't you'll be healthy in the end and you won't die. The guarantee isn't that the marriage will survive and won't end. There's no guarantees when you're there. And because of that, you're stuck in this place like Jonah where you feel like you're in bars. The darkness covers all around you. You can't see anything except in that moment. Now God sees it. But you're stuck there when darkness surrounds you. This is what he feels. He's offended God. He's gone the other way. He's gone too far. But he wasn't meant to know that it would only last for 3 days. You're not meant to know that it'll last for a week or a month or a year or 5 or 10. When you're under the chastising hands of God, we're not meant to know whether we'll end up in jail or whether we'll get free from it. We're not meant to know whether we'll get fired for this offense or whether we won't. The darkness of God's discipline is meant to drive us to our knees in repentance and cry out for mercy. When that hand is on you, it's not so that you'll live there. Listen, if you find yourself living and adapting under the hand of God when he's trying to chasten you, that ain't good. That ain't good. That's where the heart becomes seared like a hot iron. It's meant to be dark. It's not meant to have any promises because it's a dark place where we can't see, we think we'll never get out of this. How many of you that have ever been in that cave who have been locked in those bars in your past have gotten out and you're free and you can say that I've been freed from that today? Most of you. Most of you. While he's there, the enemy, we're told, entangles his mind with all kinds of weeds, seaweed. When you're in that place where God's hand is heavy on you, you don't think straight. He wraps his weeds around your head. It entangles your mind, and your mind starts to think things of how you feel. I feel isolated from God. I feel like I've gone too far. I feel like this is a dark place, and I can't see. And it entangles you, and before you know it, you start thinking about even life. Should I even stay alive? Who will miss me? Why should I? And now the thoughts start coming in. Those are all weeds. So listen, when we're in a place where God is chastising us, it's an opportune moment for the enemy to come in and wrap weeds and tell you all kinds of lies as to why you're there. That's what he does. Jonah's darkness left him with hopelessness. But here's that struggle again. Though it seemed like the bars enclosed him forever, there's no way out of this. The end of verse 6 says, yet you brought up my life from the pit. There you have it again. I feel this way. Darkness is everywhere. I can't see. Yet you brought my life up out of the pit. Yet there's hope. How many of you can relate to that? You thought, man, there was no way out. I was hopeless, and God brought your life up out of the pit. He showed you. You guys, the mercy and grace of God is also found in the discipline of God. It's there too. The third thing we notice is related to the second, and that is there is an uncomfortability in the discipline of the Lord. It's not comfortable. Years ago, I was 21 years old. It was before I came to know the Lord. The first and only time I was arrested, I promise. besides last week, but we won't talk about that. But I was, me and some friends were pulled over, and long story short, we were sitting on the curb, and the police decided to arrest us. And so they put the cuffs on me, you know, and he sits me in the back of his car. And when he does, and he sits me down, the cuffs go click, 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 click. And all I could say was, ow! And I'll never forget the words of this Norwalk Sheriff's Department officer, this Norwalk deputy. They weren't meant for comfort, punk. He didn't say punk. It was a different explicative, but you get the point. They weren't meant for comfort. You guys, the discipline of the Lord is not meant for comfort. It never has been. It is meant to hurt. It is meant to poke holes in the confidence of your flesh that you think you can handle everything, that you're Mr. or Mrs. Self-Righteous. The discipline of the Lord will always hurt. This is what Proverbs 20 verse 30 says, blows and wounds that hurt scrub away evil, and beatings purge the innermost being. When the soul is beat, and that beating is from the Lord through circumstances due to my rebellion, what he's saying is there, those beatings purge the innermost being. It says, wounds that hurt scrub away evil. A person doesn't ever want to become comfortable living in the discipline of God. It's meant, it has an end. The end is meant scrub evil and get it out, to purge it away. And finally, we'll close with this. Number 4, in the Lord's chastisement, in his discipline, there is consciousness. You know why you're there. You know why you're there. When my life was fainting, verse 7, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Shouts of Grace with Pastor Steve Pearson and Redemption Hill Church in Eagle Mountain, Utah. We hope you've been encouraged to see the Bible as God's source of truth for everyday life, and grace as the foundation for a genuine relationship with God. If you've been encouraged in your journey following and learning more about Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can visit us online at shoutsofgraceradio.com. There you can listen to all of our episodes, share them online with your friends, and find out more about Pastor Steve. Shouts of Grace is an outreach outreach of Redemption Hill Church in Eagle Mountain, Utah, and we invite you to attend our Sunday morning gatherings. For location, sermon times, and contact information, check us out at rhutah.church. Thank you again for joining us on today's show, and from all of us here at Shouts of Grace, it's our prayer that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Shouts of Grace is a production of Key Radio.